Welcome to YenEllis.podbean.com. Sorry the episode's a little bit late, guys. I got a little too turned up last night. I was zooted and booted and did not feel like doing shit when I got home. In fact, I'm re-recording this intro because I was super turned up. And I was talking all kinds of weird, wacky, wild shit. I don't even want to go back and listen to it. I don't like drunk Ian. I like high Ian. I like stoned Ian. That's my favorite guy. One of the things I want to talk about was Ari Shaffir had the editor-in-chief of Adbusters. So, like, dude that hates Spider-Man at the Daily Planet, Daily Bugle. That dude's job. But at Adbusters. Adbusters is a subversive magazine. Has no advertisements in it. The ads that are in it are meant to be, subversive. I just use that word. They're making fun of the ads. And they're trying to change the way that you view culture, and they're trying to get people to pay attention to news stories that the news ignores. And this guy kept going over meta memes. So we'll talk about what meta memes are real quick. But first, the interesting thing that I picked up on while I was watching it was, so you got this dude who's a smart person, and he's trying to take these complex ideas and, explain them so the average person can understand them. And then you have Ari, who's not a very bright person. The same thing I say about Joe Rogan. Like, he's not dumb, but he's not an intellectual. So Ari is talking to this dude. I'm thrilled he got the interview. You know, nobody else is interviewing this guy. He's an interesting dude. I'd love to hear more from him. But Ari, as he's there, he's trying to, like, summarize things and, like, throw in what he knows. But he clearly doesn't know anything, so he just seems like a fucking idiot the entire time. And, you just want to be like, hey, man, it's okay to be a student. Like, this dude is smarter than you. Sit there, listen, ask questions, and don't feel like you have 2 cents to throw in there. And don't feel like you have to. It's okay to be out of your depth. That's why this interview is exciting, because it's maybe new information. I love new information. I'm very thirsty for it. I'm parched for new information. But Ari, you're not the guy. And nobody expects you to be. I never tune into your podcast expecting to learn something from you. The guest, maybe. But not you, baby. So meta memes. We all know what a meme is. It's an idea that goes viral, blibbity blue blop. A meta meme is supposed to be a little bit more complex and nuanced than a meme. It's a way of disseminating information or taking an idea and spreading it out, that this idea changes your values when you encounter it. It changes the way that you perceive reality. So once you encounter this idea, you can no longer look at the world the same way, and you feel like there needs to be a change in whatever area. So it's like, say if like an oil plant blows up, instead of just dealing with that one oil plant, or Chernobyl exploded. And the reason it exploded was the problem with the bureaucracy. According to fucking the HBO Chernobyl show that I just watched, which I was disappointed there was no zombies in there. I was expecting the Chernobyl zombie diaries, but it turns out it was a very serious show about stuff that really happened. And fucking the plant exploded because of, in Russia, there's no accountability, because it's your ass. You go to the gulags if you screw up. So everybody's covering everybody's ass. And when something as serious as a nuclear power plant exploding happens, you need to find out what happened, and you need to find out if your other power plants could possibly get fucked over the same way. And the fucking bureaucrats and powers that be were stepping in there and covering up what went wrong, and then like falsifying documents because they didn't want to admit that the other plants could possibly explode as well. It was a terrible thing. So you have the problem of the plant exploding, which you got to deal with that. But then the bigger problem, the broader problem, is the covering up of mismanagement. And so the idea would be to come up with a meta meme that exposes what's going on here. You expose how they're covering stuff up and how that leads to like people dying. And if you can do that in a meme-y way that's popular and spreads all over the place, you might be able to change the world. Not just get justice for the issue, but get broader social justice for, the cause of the problem instead of just the problem. I don't know. That came out kind of jumbled. But it's like, do you want to treat one person who's sick, or do you want to cure the disease? And at the end of the day, you want to cure the disease. Not that a sick person or a problem isn't important. You still got to handle that. But if you can find a way to cure the disease in general, that's far more important. His solution to injustice and to all the tragedies of the world is metamemes. That's his idea that is on and popping. He brought it up like 50 times. Which is kind of ironic because, so he's a smart person who's trying to kind of dumb his ideas down, which is exactly what a meta meme is. It's just taking broader social theories and making them digestible to the general public so that they're not falling for the okie doke. it's kind of what comedians sometimes do. That's what I always hope they would do. And that's what I'm into it for. That's why I like Chappelle so much, because he puts a little bit of wisdom in there. It's also why I like Red Bar so much. He has a commitment to saying something. That's why I love South Park. South Park says something. I grew up from that gay generation where everything has a point. And CEO probably hates that about me, but I'm always like, no, no, let's bring it back and let's make a point stick. Let's find something in here. Let's find a treasure in all this chaos. We're out here in the darkness, wandering around the wilderness. Nobody's ever been here before. Let's pick up a new shiny rock and bring it home and show everybody. So that they don't get lost in the darkness. They'd be like, oh, that's what's over there. Any of that shit make sense? So his meta memes. First one was eco-tax. And eco-tax meaning like we all have a carbon footprint, which is the damage we're going to do to the earth. That they have all kinds of different calculations to try and figure out. And he wants to look at the ecological impact of certain things that we purchase, like, say, a car, and calculate how to reverse that damage and then tax you for it. So it's like if they figure out that you're going to drive X amount of things and that's going to fuck up, the air we breathe and fucking the atmosphere and all that, they're going to take it out of your pocket. You can destroy the earth if you want to, but you're going to do it knowingly and you're going to pay for it. I don't think that idea will ever pass. I think it's a little too much accountability. They kind of do that with cigarettes now, where like they want everyone to quit smoking. So fucking every year it goes up a dollar. I smoke American Spirits. They were $7 when I started. They're like $9.50 now. It stinks, man. And I started vaping to get off the cigarettes. You know, winter's coming. I don't want to be going outside. And fucking 2 weeks later, they're like, vaping is killing people. There's 20 cases of this vaping disease going around. Another thing that made me think of, I really like this YouTube channel called China Uncensored. And it's got another sister channel that's about like American news. And he was talking about the stuff that was going on in Brazil. If you listen to my episode with me and KB, I talk about that. So this is kind of an example of like a meta meme, or you can think of it as like every culture has its own programming, and ours is largely based on advertising. Everybody really works for the ads. They make all the propaganda. They're trying to fit us into all these molds so that we can be consistent consumers. You know, they want you to want to be blonde, brunette, redhead. Skinny, fat, medium. They want you to be easily understood things that have, needs and wants that they've created so that they can maximize profiting off of manipulating you. So, fucking Brazil, this dude that was in Ari's thing was talking about how it was like a victory that they got Brazil to quit clearing out the rainforest. But the China Uncensored dude was like, well, actually, the like scientists they were quoting, that was all vegan propaganda. It's an example of like this a meta meme. So basically, the vegan company pulled off a meta meme to like get everybody to stop deforesting because apparently meat is destroying everything, even though they weren't doing that shit mostly for meat. And a meta meme is like, if you can take the programming of the culture and you can subvert it, as like hacking the programming people have, another example might be like the okay hand sign or the it's okay to be white thing. Those are examples of like they knew people were programmed to be triggered by X, Y, and Z, so they took advantage of that and made a harmless thing that triggered the fuck out of people, which shows how programmed people are to be triggered. It's important to scare people. Me and KB say that to each other all the time. Like, she'll be going into a show, and I'll be like, I hope you scare the fuck out of those white people. Or I'll be in some trouble, and she'll be like, I hope you scare the fuck out of those open micers. And I like it. I think it's important to scare people, because it takes balls for people to be afraid, to be willing to cause real discomfort. But I think in that discomfort, that's, you know, Jordan Peterson talks a lot about like going into the darkness and going into the chaos. That's the only place we find new ideas. You got to be willing to go into those uncomfortable places to be able to find what's real, what's true. To me, edginess is more about like, or I'll say about scaring people. I mean discomfort, not violence. I'm not with violence in any way, shape, or form. But if you can make people uncomfortable, I think there is value to it. And what makes people uncomfortable is telling about how they are programmed more so than about what you're doing. So it becomes a good way to read people and find out what it is that they're hung up on, which would possibly tell you, you know, where they have a wound and, you know, what you could do to help them. So his other meta meme, he had four of them. The next one was clean communication. He was like, did you ever notice that, you know, we have this wonderful thing called the internet, this powerful tool called your phone, but you can't do anything on there for more than 5 minutes without running into ads. And ads are basically just here to program you and rape your brain and shape your perception of reality. And he's like, wouldn't it be nice if we had some way of communicating with one another that wasn't cluttered with a constant mindfuck? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a place to store all of our information and all of these wonderful tools for self-expression and knowledge and growth where you weren't being manipulated as you tried to learn? Like, that's how sweet the ads have it. You try to learn about the ads and you're getting advertised to as you're trying to learn about the ads. It's a fucked up game. They got those claws in deep, man. So I'd be all for that one. A clean internet, clean communication. And of course, it'll end up being something you gotta pay for. Netflix is ad-free for now. But you pay for that shit. YouTube used to be dope. Now the ads have gotten to it. And if you want to get rid of them, you gotta pay that premium membership, man. You gotta pay to be free of this thought rape. And he brought up charter reviews. So to become a corporation, you sign a charter. And that charter is... you know, this is what we plan to do as a corporation. We plan to meet goals A, B, and C. We're going to produce this product, and it has to get, you know, passed by the government or whatever. You got to get a certified charter to become a corporation. Everybody should go check out the movie The Corporation. I think it was by Michael Moore before he went completely batshit crazy. Because you learn a lot about how companies are pretty much forced to be evil by the rules that are in place now. So his idea was to, have charter reviews, like every 5 years or so. We pull it up and we go like, all right, are you meeting X, Y, and Z? And are there things that we want to renegotiate? We would like your company to start doing this and that, or we don't feel like your company is covering this or that enough. Which is good in theory, but, to me, it feels too much like government meddling, where it's almost like an Ayn Rand novel where you get all these fucking bureaucrats who don't know anything about your business, and then they come along and they just make asinine rules that, you know, pad their pockets, and fucking that ends up driving any corporation that can't afford to fill their pockets or to pay the lobbyists to go out of business. But it'd be nice, some charter reviews, you know. Yeah, get these raises, get this health care, blah, blah, blah. His last one was transparency in politics. That would be great. I don't pay attention to politics. And I used to, but the thing is, you stop paying attention for a month and you're pretty much out of the game. And I've been out of the game for a couple of years now. And it's always been very frustrating because you don't just have the two parties. You got all the people in the parties, all the Congress, all the Senate, and then all the different things that they vote on, and then the negotiations within the things that they're voting on, and then you don't even know who the fuck the lobbyists are. And God help you, if you could find a way to sort all that out, if we could get an app that is like, we need like baseball trading cards for politics that are like, this is what they voted for, this is what they've compromised on, and these are the lobbyists that are funding them that may cause them to compromise their opinion. And then you get the horseshit of like Hillary Clinton going like, yeah, you know, I have a public opinion and a private opinion, and she's saying that to a corporation that's putting money in her pockets. You're like, ah, bitch. Can't trust anybody. Goddamn. So basically, the whole thing is so fucked. It's like, what is the point of even bothering to pay attention? Because you're paying attention to nonsense. It's a smoke show. It's fucking theater. They're only showing you what you want to see. It gets way worse if any of us knew what the fuck we were talking about. If anybody could actually figure out what was going on, our heads would explode. So those were the meta memes. That was the Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank podcast, his interview with the editor-in-chief of Adbusters. You can go check it out if you want. The audio was kind of shitty. I don't think there was much more in it than what I just broke down for you in 10 minutes. This is a Cliff Notes version. But meta memes, interesting idea. I think Jordan Peterson's good at that. I think he's I think he has broader intentions than what he publicly states. This week, there was a Redditor, somebody who came out to the open mic a couple weeks ago. They, this is a new dude and his wife, and they came out back, and I'm usually sitting there hanging out with KB. So the bartender was like, hey, this person's new, you know, make him feel welcome. So we invited him into the table, kicked it with him for like an hour before the show, talked, gave advice, listened to their jokes, blah, blah, blah. It's not my favorite thing in the world to hang out with new people, but I'll do it to be nice every once in a while. Well, this dude bombed, and then after he bombed, he fucking... Hold on. This dude bombed hard, and then after he was done bombing, KB went up right after him, and I guess she roasted him, and he got so butthurt, he went and made a Reddit post about it. But it wasn't about his experience, it was about, he laid out a map of all of the open mics in the suburbs, and then he just shit-talked every one of them, and called every suburban comic a hobbyist that was unprofessional and a joke thief. And then he's pointing out this room is too PC, and you know, everybody laughs and claps for their in crowd, but they don't laugh and clap for real funny. And it was a very entitled, bitchy Reddit thread. But the worst part is, and we think we know who this is, but we don't know 100% for sure. We think it's this dude, but the dude is pretending to be a 23-year-old woman, but like nobody remembers a 23-year-old woman being there that night. And I guess after his set, somebody had leaned over and said something to him. And he ends the Reddit thing with the exact same thing that that person had leaned over and said to him. So that's what makes us all go, oh, it was that dude, 100%. But it's hilarious. I'm going to put a link to the Reddit in here. I think it's the r/Chicago Suburbs Comedy or Comedy Advice or Chicago Comedy, some gay shit like that. I don't really fuck with Reddit that much, so I don't even know how to use it. But yeah, man, I'll put in a link, because if you like bitchiness and seeing comics like spaz out and get mad at each other, this person's claiming they're getting death threats. They're talking about all these people are hobbyists that are scared to go to the city. I stopped going to the city because it wasn't worth my time. I'm not driving fucking an hour there, an hour back, to fucking hang out with 8 comics in a room and there's no audience, when there's a place 15 minutes from me and it has, you know, at least 20 or 30 regular audience people there. I'll go take the audience, man. And the less driving. Ain't got shit to do with city being better comics. But, you know, everybody likes to think that their scene is the real thing. I like the suburbs. There's a lot of different creative voices, and I like that. I like that most people sound different from one another. I hate it when it's three or four fucking Dimitri Martins in a row, and it's three Jim Gaffigans in a row, and then it's two Doug Stanhopes in a row, and you're like, all y'all think is Biden. I don't want to sit here and watch clones all night. I wanted to see somebody who's like experimenting to try and find their own voice and point of view so that they can do their own shit. Speaking of which, September has been fucking great for content. We had Dave Chappelle special. We had a Bill Burr special, which was way better than I thought it was going to be. After seeing Dave's, I was like, the bar has been raised, and Bill Burr is not coming anywhere near the bar. You know, he bombed on his last special. The jokes were fine, but the audience wasn't with it, so the whole thing felt awkward and hard to watch. But this time, the audience was with him, and he took way more chances and risks than I expected him to. It was a lot better than I was expecting. I might have enjoyed it so much because my expectations were so low, which is great. If you can ever lower your expectations, that is the best way to enjoy anything. But Bill's special was great. And then I just realized this show I like, Preacher, has been back on the air for the fourth and final season. So I've been binge watching, catching up on that. Fucking South Park is coming back. Red Barge has hit season 18. With Apologies is going to be back this Sunday. September has been phenomenal. I'm loving September. But I did want to talk about the only person I've really heard say they didn't like Dave's special other than the Vice. Oh, another Reddit thing. I heard about this, but I haven't seen it. Apparently, there's a Reddit thread where they recut Dave Chappelle's special to be Vice approved. So I imagine he just comes out, says his name, and then says goodnight. They're like, approved by Vice. But that sounds hilarious. I asked one of my dudes to find it so we could post it up on YouTube because I want to see it. Not trying to, like, grab somebody else's content, but fucking, it should be out there. Whoever made that for Reddit, put it on YouTube so the rest of us can enjoy it. But Mike Davis is the only person I've heard say, like, get over this fucking special. It could be goofing around, could be just that he hates comedians in general. But I was thinking, Mike David probably looks at someone like Dave and is like, I say crazier shit than that every day, all the time. And Mike has a commitment to funny, which most comedians don't have. It's so disappointing how boring most comedy podcasts are. I'm definitely being boring on this episode. Let's talk about brainy shit. But Mike also exercises more freedom than any comedian in the game, because all of them are trying to suck dick in the industry so that they can go up. So that leads to shit like, you won't say something is bad. Like, people keep telling me about the Your Mom's House podcast and Sebastian Maniscalco. They're shit. The Your Mom's House podcast was fucking terrible. And Sebastian Maniscalco is a fucking hack. He's a cartoon character. I saw a Family Guy the other day where Chris goes to fucking trade school, and it's all Italianis, and it's the exact same catchphrases that Sebastian uses. He's made out of catchphrases. He's garbage. Throw him away. He's Kevin Hart. But people will sit there and suck his dick because they want to get on tour. They want to get the deal. They want to be part of that clout. And that's a very disappointing thing from comedians who claim to be, you know, the mischief makers, the troublemakers, the class clowns, the... They identify with fucking the trickster god, but they get bitched up when it comes to being honest about other comedians. So, I think Mike looks at that and he goes like, having balls like that when you have $70 million in the bank probably isn't that impressive to him. But he is a living legend. Both of them. Dave and Mike. Mike is a living legend. He's never going to get that credit. He's going to be like Picasso. Fucking maybe 20 years after he's dead, people will figure it out. But it ain't happening while he's alive. And the worst part is a whole bunch of cocksuckers that are fucking ripping off his shit. They're going to be the ones that blow up and are famous, this, that, and the other. And they're all just watered down versions of the truth. And the truth ain't going to fucking get its day in court. It's very frustrating. Just as an outsider watching, I get frustrated. But that made me think of Alejandro Jodorowsky. He made two movies everybody should watch, El Topo and Holy Mountain. These movies are supposed to be like shamanic experiences to watch them. That's how out there they are. They were made in the 70s. This dude's 90 and he's still making movies. I just found out there was a movie out I didn't know about called Endless Poetry. Fucking bought that shit on Apple TV. I'm gonna watch that later. But Jordanowski, I saw an interview with him, and his shit was so crazy that people tried to kill him because of his movie. Like, they were so offended, so appalled, so uncomfortable, they literally tried to shoot him. And his two films, El Topo and Holy Mountain, they got fucking thrown into a vault for 20 years, and they weren't allowed to be released, and he's been chased out of countries. Like, people treated him like he was the devil. It's similar to, like, what they did with Charles Manson, where it's like, if you... Well, we're definitely desensitized in today versus then. But if you look at just who was murdered, it was like two people were murdered. He wasn't even there. It really, he could have been let go. I mean, he was crazy and he wanted to be in jail. But I remember growing up, it was like he was Satan himself. He was possessed. If he talked to you for 5 minutes, you'd be killing people. I thought he had a body count of like 4,000 people. No, he killed three people. A dude, a chick, and her baby. And he didn't even kill him. He just talked a bunch of crazy people into, you know, robbing a house. I digress. So Alejandro Jordanowski, they were asking him about, like, how could you do this crazy out wild shit? And he's like, listen, when I was young, I just ran off of guts. Just pure guts. No calculation. No, maybe this works. Maybe this doesn't work. This will make it digestible. This is how you make it understandable. Just pure. He was running off of just pure balls. Sorry, I'm going to cut it out, but I'm coughing up a storm, so I got to cut this shit short. Coming up with some jokes about how I'm going trans. I forgot to talk about how delicious I was going to look in a sundress and my titty game. Because, you know, I'm going to have some beautiful titties, and I know more about being a hot 23-year-old than hot 23-year-olds know. So my titties are going to be on point. My nipples are going to be sticking out. I'm going to have me some silky suits. You'll figure it out when you hear the jokes. This joke came to me. Some of you are going to go, you stole that from Joy, Mike David's thing. I was watching Beige Frequency. He made a video about ContraPoint. And one of the things he said in there sparked the idea for me to go trans. So I'm going to be trapping as a trans person. I was super zooted when I went up there to the point that as I was telling my jokes, I was like having almost an out-of-body experience where I was I was shocked that I was getting words out of my own mouth. Like, I start off like super mumbling my words like a super drunk. And then I, you know, kind of get going, at least enough that I'm not chewing up my words. But fucking, the set was surreal for me because as I'm telling the jokes, really in the back of my head, I'm going, what the fuck? How did I get that sentence together? What was the next sentence? I don't know how any of this works anymore. But it seemed to go fine. So the last thing I got to talk about is, with apologies, we've been off for the last 3 weeks. Ross's modem exploded. So that knocked us out for like 2 weeks. And then he had some shit going on in his real life where he's like, I don't know, I got to figure this stuff out. And we were all like, hey, handle your business, man. So he was saying, like, I don't know, like, I either got to... either this thing is going to work out, or I might have to disappear for like 2 months. Which, if that happens, we'll just, you know, either CEO will figure out how to do the show, or we'll find another producer. We'll move around. The show will come back. The show won't go away forever. But right now I do the podcast and stand up and the job and the wife and the kid and fucking Philip Wave Radio twice a week and editing videos for other shit. I got enough going on that if the show isn't happening, I'm happy to take a day off. So I haven't been stressing about the show not being around, but it will come back. I promise you, with apologies, isn't going anywhere. We're just in a slight limbo state. Yeah, man. All right, guys, enjoy these jokes. Deuces.
Jesse. What can I say about our next comedian? He's about to do 5 minutes. Give it up for Ian. Yeah.
Yes, I'm 40, I'm white, and I failed at life. And I'm basically a hobbyist. Right? Well, you might relate to that. A bunch of cowards. A bunch of chicken shit scared to go to the city. And I had no idea you guys were so bitch made. I thought a couple of you meant it, but nope, turns out a bunch of cowards and joke thieves. You guys are a bunch of bitches. Why am I ringing so much? I'm trying to get away from the microphone. You guys, have you ever heard of ContraPoint? Clap it up if you're a fan of ContraPoint. She's an icon in the transgender community. On YouTube. I thought you guys were woke. If you're woke, clap it up for this bitch. Used to be a dude. Right now they're trying to cancel ContraPoint. Oh, it's all over YouTube. You guys don't know. You're too old. You're square. Bunch of cowards. I know about it. I'm hip. I'm lit as shit. You fucking cool guys. I don't know why they're canceling her. And I honestly don't give a fuck. I don't care about transgender people. But what interests me is that it turns out ContraPoint is a 50-year-old white man who looks like a delicious 23-year-old white woman. I had no idea that was an option. Guys, I'm going trans. I'm transitioning out of my marriage and into being a slut on Tinder. You have no idea how much pussy I get as an ugly white man. Awful as I look, my clothes don't match, my teeth are awful. Women offer to fuck me. You know how much pussy I'm gonna get as a dumpy dyke? I'm gonna be all over social media just scissoring the fuck out of bitches. I'm gonna get half of Portland pregnant. Do you know what a trap is? And a trap is a transgender that it's like a dude that looks like a chick, and they don't tell you till you're about to fuck. And they're like, you want this blowjob or not? That's a trap. I'm going to be a gay trap. I'm going to go up to lesbians and be like, how much do you mean it? I'm part of the alphabet. You going to get this dick or you homophobic? Fuck the shit out of a bunch of gay bitches. Guys, I'm a parent. This whole scheme has to wait till my kid is old enough to hate me. I don't want to hate me too young. The hardest part of being a parent is trying to not get molested. Well, my kid's a toddler, so we take showers together, and sometimes he thinks my dick is a rope he can swing off of. I'm like, dude, that's not cool, and I don't think it's sexual. It's too aggressive for him to mean it. But I feel violated either way. Quit touching my dick, dude! I don't want to gay shame. It's okay if you're gay, but your dad's dick is not the right one. You should start with another man's penis. Call me old-fashioned, but your incest is not okay. Did you guys know that people are dying from vaping?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Did they put fentanyl in it? If you weren't vaping off the side of a lawnmower, if you took a normal puff, you would be dying. I'm gonna close out on this. I'm tired of people lying about shit. Like Wu-Tang. How many of y'all like the Wu-Tang? Woo! Y'all full of shit. I want to love the Wu-Tang. Don't know a single fucking lyric. I can't name about 4.5 of them. They have a TV show. It's great. Don't know the lyrics, all right? How about Quentin Tarantino? Is he great? Yeah. You guys are nutting over his new movie? Yeah. Isn't he just Kevin Smith for adults? Oh, wow, the white dude that says nigger. All right. That's what's popping? That's what makes him great? I thought I was supposed to learn something as a human being. All right, guys. Google Alejandro Jordanowski. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night. From every direction.
the sky. I can find everything. But I have to survive. To survive. To survive. They tell you to be careful of what you watch, be careful of what you read, be careful of what you believe. Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. It's a word of caution that surrounds you. Who can you trust? What will they teach? What will you learn? To survive.